Well, I can already sense the strength of prayer increasing. Just by listening to our prayer, this is right. I hope someday it will come that there will be so much prayer there would not even be a message necessary. I don't mean we don't need messages, but you know what I mean. When the saints are all in the priesthood praying, that is far better. It will accomplish much more than just a message. I hope that this is just the beginning in the gym of prayer, 24-hour fitness. You're still a little flabby, sorry. But how about 100 days later, we will have a before and after shot. We will be the praying ones with a lot of praying muscles in 100 days. All right. Tonight we move on to prayer and God's move in the epistles and revelation. Oh, excuse me, I read the wrong thing. Yeah, sorry. In the Gospels and the Acts, the Gospel. Tomorrow would be the Epistles and Revelation. May I say again, dear saints, that as we said this afternoon, if you were there, we have to be those who know God's doings, God's work, God's hand, and God's move in our times. Without that knowledge, I would say our life, even our Christian life, perhaps even our church life, would be without a sense of destiny. Without a sense of commission, and therefore without the sense of purpose. We may be here enjoying the church life, and it's wonderful that we're saved and we even enjoy the Lord to some degree. But still, I can bet that if you see something of God's move, even that is not entirely satisfactory. There would be something within you that cries out, that yearns to go further, to not only be one with God, but to join with His move. Well, prayer is the way to do that. And so I hope these few meetings, we would have a better sense of just what the Lord is doing. I happen to believe, just because we're at the end or close to the end of the times of this present age, and we know according to the prophecies, according to the Lord's word, according to the world situation, if you observe it, you have to come to that conclusion that we are nearing the end times. Well, with that kind of a knowledge, dear saints, I would say we're sitting in a place that perhaps is the most important place in the church age. Somewhat like the guy who runs the last leg of a relay. The previous ones have done their job. And now it's up to the last guy, the last runner. And so usually, you know, they pick the best to run the last. But dear saints, do we fit that description? Are we the best? We should be. We should be. If you have such a sense of where you are today, you would live differently. And so the call to prayer this weekend is no ordinary call. This is not just to call you to give up something more or to do a few more things in the church. This is a very, very solemn call. A call to pray, to cooperate with the Lord in the last of these days. Now, we come to the outline here, shall we? Please read Romans 1. So, of course, the first passage we would encounter in the Gospels, in the New Testament, regarding prayer, must be the Lord's teaching. Master, teach us how to pray. And so the Lord taught the disciples exactly how to pray in the way of expressing the divine will. So we're taking even a whole page of this outline to cover this very, very important teaching from the Lord himself. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. And I would say, how about please open your Bible. You are free to turn on your cell phones right now. to go to your digital version of the recovery version. I feel it is important for us to read verse 9 through 15. Have you found it? Okay, let us read. You then pray in this way. Our Father who is in the heavens, your name be sanctified. Your kingdom come. Your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. It's this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, ever. Amen. So, this outline will make clear concerning this prayer. I would just put it this way. Pray this way. That doesn't mean we recite this as the so-called Lord's Prayer verbatim every time. It doesn't mean that. It means pray according to this pattern. Pray according to this principle. Okay? And so the first thing in our prayer must be towards and concerning the triune God, as we will see. Your name, your kingdom, your will. And in particular, not so much about the heavens, but about that these things would take place on earth. Earth is the problem. Earth is what needs prayer. And then in verse 11, the second thing we pray for is ourselves. Give us today our daily bread for our sustenance that we may live a life in God's will. And then it says, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. This is a prayer concerning and towards others around us, that we would be in good standing, having forgiven others and having been forgiven by others with a good conscience. So our relationship with man would be also part of our prayer. And then it says, number 13, verse 13, don't bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So this is a prayer towards Satan, the enemy, for our safekeeping and for our deliverance from him. Then we come back to the beginning of the prayer towards God again. Here we have three things: the kingdom, the power, and the glory. As we will see, this again relates to the Trinity. So this is a prayer of three, many threes. So let's now take a look on what they are. A, Matthew 6, 9 to 13 is the Lord's instruction to us to pray in this way. To our Father who is in the heavens, this prayer, pattern of prayer, can be divided into three sections. Three sections. Number one, the three basic prayers concerning God, that is verse 9 and verse 10, are related to the divine Trinity. Your name be sanctified is related mainly to the Father. Your kingdom come to the Son, and your will be done to the Spirit. So our prayers concerns God, even concerns or are related to the divine Trinity. This is not a small thing. A, this is being fulfilled in this age, and it will be ultimately fulfilled in the kingdom age, when the name of God will be excellent in all the earth. The kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of Christ, and the will of God will be accomplished. So here we have the name, the kingdom, and also the will, these three things. And we are charged to pray for this, that all this will be fulfilled in this age. Firstly, not the kingdom age, even in our age, the age that we're in today. The name of the Father has been desecrated. The kingdom of the Son has been rejected. And the will of the Spirit is forgotten. Brothers and sisters, this is the situation of the world today. And therefore, in our prayers, even in the next 100 days, we need to come back to this. Pray for his name to be made holy again. The name that has been blasphemed among nations. The name that has been cursed. Pray for its sanctification in this age. And pray for his kingdom to come, not just in the next age, but today. The reality of the kingdom would be on the earth today. And pray also his will, God's will, this referred to his great will be done today. And I would say that these things should be realized and should be manifested in the church life. In the church life. So when you pray for the church life, pray in this way. Be after the rebellion of Satan and the fall of man, Christ came to bring the heavenly rule to the earth. so that the earth could be recovered for God's interest, so that the will of God could be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom people must pray for this until the earth is fully recovered for God's will in the coming kingdom age. So besides praying for these three things for today, we also for sure must pray for these three things, about these three things, to be fulfilled in the age that is to come. That is the coming kingdom. We have to pray, your kingdom come. That means the day, the time, the age when Christ will bring his rule to this earth. He will clear up this earth. He would deal with his enemies. He would have judged the rebellion. And he would recover this earth that he created for himself, for God's interest. So God's will be done all throughout the earth. And the entire earth will be fully recovered for God's will in the kingdom age. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to really, really impress you how the earth is the battleground. The earth is what this fight is all about. It's the earth. Heaven is okay. Heaven is no problem. The earth is what is in chaos. The earth is what is in rebellion. The earth is where it's filled with abominations. This earth that has been usurped by Satan is what God needs to gain. And so the need is for his kingdom to be established on this earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, so on earth. In the exact same way. No difference. My brothers and sisters, this needs prayer. So pray this way. Number two, the second section of this prayer, the three requests concerning our need are protective prayers. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. These three requests are for our protection, for our sustenance, for our condition, for our preservation. We do need to pray for this. To pray for this, I would like to say, is not selfish. Not selfish. You know, getting old, and it's either this screw falling out and then you screw it back and then the other one falls off and that kind of thing. So I do try to take care of myself, you know, with adequate exercise and diet and that sort of thing. But I also pray that the Lord would preserve me. For me. This is just for me. Preserve me. And even to give me the length of life. But when I pray that way, I always am cognizant that I even pray for that, not for my benefit. I pray for that for God's interest. You see, you have to even align your need with God's need. Then to pray for yourself is right, is okay. All right. And there are certainly times where we find ourselves in spiritual warfare, wrestling with Satan. That happens, brothers and sisters. Don't be afraid, but that happens. So we also likewise need to pray for deliverance, for God's help. Number three, the third section. The prayer of the Father concludes with three reverent praises as extolling prayers. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The kingdom is of the Son, again, which is in the realm in which God exercises his power. So you have the power of God. And the power is of the Spirit. The power is related to the Spirit, which carries out God's intention so that the Father may have his corporate expression in glory. So glory is related to the Father. The Son's kingdom, the Spirit's power, the Father's glory. That is how we should conclude our prayer. It is once again for the need, the desire of the triune God. Let's come to B. The ministry of the church is to bring the will in heaven to earth. All right, so here's the point. Here's the point why I stress the earth. The earth is the key. So here the word even says that, I mean, the ministry even says that the ministry of the church is to bring the will in heaven to earth. What is the church's ministry? If we can only name one, what is our ministry? That ministry is to bring heaven to the earth, or to bring the heavenly will to the earth. That is what the church is here doing. What is the church on the earth today doing here? None other than to bring that will down, to bring God's will to this earth. One, a prayer that is in the nature of work or ministry is one in which we stand on God's side, wanting what God wants. So just remember here, this is not a prayer that is in the nature of growth or of life. This is in the nature of work and ministry. So we need to stand on God's side, and we must want what God wants. We have to be bold, brothers and sisters, when we pray in your prayer meetings. Oh Lord, we want what you want. Pray in this way. Your prayer will be strong. Your prayer will be powerful and authoritative. How many people say this on the earth today? God, we want what you want. Almost no one. Almost no one. But that is what the church should declare. Two, the highest and greatest work of the church is to be the outlet of God's will. The church is the outlet of God's will through prayer. I think these are quotations from that book by Watchman Nee on the prayer ministry of the church. You should get into that. You should get into that. So without the church, there will not be a channel. There would not be an outlet for God's will. The prayer is that channel, the prayer of the church. Here, may I just say that, brothers and sisters, we should do our best as much as possible not to miss the church prayer meetings. Now, we should not miss the Lord's table, as we're charged to do by the Lord in remembrance of Him. So we should not miss the Lord's table. We have to remember Him every week. But I would say the same about prayers. In Acts chapter 2, it says, they continue steadfastly in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Those two things. Those two things are the two main legs of the church, of a local church. There are other things, but these are the two main things. One, to remember the Lord. The other, to bring down His will. Those are the two things that as Christian in the church is what you should be doing. Enjoying Christ by remembering Him is one. And then to fight, to deal with His enemy, to channel His will to this earth is the other side. When we have these two, that church is healthy. That church is balanced. So don't just go to the Lord's table. You know, you may even end up being a Sunday church goer. Go to the prayers. When we were in the early days, this is back in the 60s in Eldon, I remember. The number that is in the prayer meeting is almost the same as the number on Lord's Day. Maybe a little less. It's weekday, but quite close. Yeah, it was so. Today, we often find a church with 100 people, but maybe 10 or 12 in the prayer meetings. Now imagine, you don't need 100. Imagine 50 are praying there. Can you see how much more power that would be? So, dear saints, by not going to the prayer meetings, we are abdicating the church's responsibility to bring God's will to the earth. I know it's a price. And I have this story to tell. In those years, this is not in the 60s, this is in the 70s. Some of us were in Huntington Beach. And at that time, I tell you, the overflow of Eldon Hall was still there. Those prayer meetings were powerful. I remember that. Do you remember, some of you? We were at, I forgot where we were, in some school. There's a school called Sour School or something like that. We have to meet there, right? Okay. So I remember I was working at that time in Newport Beach. And then somehow every Tuesday, without fail, for quite a period of time, during the day as I was working, I would get this migraine. This migraine headache. And at first I said, well, you know, I didn't eat breakfast or whatever the reason may be. Then after a while, I found out a pattern every Tuesday. Now, you may not believe this, but I'm telling you the truth. Okay, I am telling you the truth. Every Tuesday, I get a headache. And when that headache hits, you just want to go home and sleep. Right? You know, when headache can get pretty bad, and you just want to just go home and just retire. Then after a while, dawn on me every Tuesday. Why come every Tuesday? Well, every Tuesday night is the prayer of the church. My, when I woke up to that fact, you know what? I say, I don't care what headache I get. Devil, I am going tonight. The more you send the headache, the more I'm resolved to go to the meeting. Now, the story doesn't end there. You know, in those days, I tell you, we go to the prayer meeting just like we come to conference meeting, fighting for the first row. Yeah, we did that. I mean, the ushers were setting up the chairs and all the saints were barricaded, you know. They couldn't just go in. And the moment the whistle blows, so to speak, you can all come. There was a mad rush of saints to the front row in the prayer meeting. In the prayer meeting. And I was one of them, of course. Now, here's it. I tell you, sometimes I still have some headache when I go, or at least a residue of the headache. The moment, without fail, when I start to release my spirit with the church in prayer, instantaneously the headache is gone. No, this is not divine healing. This is the devil. He would do everything to keep you from praying. He will even let you to do certain good things, but he won't let you pray. And especially here, the context is the church. He won't let the church's prayer. If he can stop the church's prayer meeting, I tell you, he'll be quite happy. Satan will be very happy. And so, consecrate the prayer night to the Lord. Plan on going. I mean, if we see this happening in Northern Cal, that is the prayer meeting night attendance approximates Lord's Day, I would say revival has arrived. It has arrived already. And that was a revival, let me tell you. In Los Angeles, it was a true, full-blown revival, and that was the condition. All right, let's continue. The prayer of the church means that when God wants to do something, the church prays about that matter first so that it can be fulfilled and God's goal can be accomplished. So God wants to do something. He does. He wants to do a lot, a whole lot. But the church have to pray first about that matter before God can fulfill his goal. Oh, the key, the control is in the hand of the church. Now you think about this. You think about this. The church is not a small thing. The church is God's means to get what he wants to be done. The church. Dear saints, the church. In heaven, God's power is unlimited, but on earth, God's power is manifested to the degree that the church prays. Heaven, no problem. It's on the earth that God seemingly is not that powerful. God is limited. Let's release the divine power. Amen. By our prayer. Amen. Two, the ministry of the church is prayer. The church must have big prayers, serious prayers, and strong prayers. Prayers that manifest our God and open the way for him to move. I would like you to underscore big, serious, and strong, and I'd like to add another word, prevailing, victorious, overcoming. If the church is a praying church, praying these kind of prayers, I tell you, that church is Zion. That church is an overcoming church. Let's come to Romans 2. Please read. In Matthew, to thrust out workers into his heart. So now we come to another passage. This is after, or at the time, when the Lord sent his disciples two and two to the villages to preach the kingdom. And so when he was doing that, he also taught those disciples and indirectly teaching you and I to beseech the Lord of the harvest. Do you know the Lord has a name, has a status called the Lord of the harvest? We are supposed to call on him to thrust out workers into his harvest. And this word thrust does something to my being. Not just to send out, but thrust out. In this next 100 days of prayer, we're going to pray for the full-timers one day, one of the days. That, what is that? That is to pray for the thrusting out of more workers into his harvest, his field. If in Northern California we would have over 100 full-timers giving all their time to the Lord to serve, to preach the gospel, I tell you, something will happen here. But we have to pray to him first to thrust out. And by the way, we would have no full-timers if we don't send our young people to the full-time training. So it begins really there. The thrusting begins there. And dear brothers and sisters, don't hold on to your children after they got out of college. And I think, well, before that, you have to infuse them with this noble aspiration that after they get out of college 4 years, they will go to the full-time training. We put this into our daughters. When time comes, that's it. You don't think about it. You don't wonder whether you should go. You just go. It's part of your schedule, part of your life plan. I would like to see all our children go to the full-time training. I tell you, that's the best thing you can do for them. The kind of profit, the kind of benefit that they will gain and that the Lord's recovery will gain is unspeakable. So pray, even for your own children. Pray for one another's children. Pray for the children in your church, that the Lord will one day thrust them out. You know, to have your children become a lawyer, become a doctor, that's good. And I'm not against that. Don't take me wrong. But, saints, I want to really tell you this. It doesn't seem this way, but I tell you, to have your children or one of your children deciding to go serve the Lord full time is a greater thing. There are a lot of doctors around. There are tons of lawyers. They say there are too many of them. How many workers are there in the Lord's harvest? You think about that. Not that many. There will be a blessing accrue to your family, even if one of your family members will serve the Lord in this way. Don't worry that they will not have anything to eat. Yes, they probably will not become millionaires by 25 or whatever the Silicon Valley dream says, or maybe forever. I'd like to tell you, this is glory. This is glory. The day will come, and it will be shown that this career, I use that word, this career, will be remembered, will be approved by the Lord, because it takes care of what He wants. All right, let's come to A. We all need to see a vision of the Lord Jesus as the Lord of the harvest. In verse 38, the Lord told us to beseech the Lord of the harvest that He may thrust out workers into His harvest. One, firstly, in His economy, God has a plan to accomplish. Two, then His economy requires His people to beseech, to pray for it. And then three, in answering their prayer, He will accomplish what they have prayed concerning His plan. This is just a very, very strong principle of this kind of prayer. God has a need, makes known to His people. His people pray and beseech Him for it. And then He, in response, answers that prayer. And that answer is the very accomplishment of His economy. See, whenever you sense the need for workers, you must firstly pray to the Lord of the harvest, saying, Lord, here is your harvest. Here's your harvest in this Northern California. Here are the campuses. You are the Lord of the harvest. We call on you to thrust out some reapers. Lord, send more reapers into your harvest. Praying like this will make a difference. So, saints, pray this way. Just pray this way. I would not be too surprised. As you're praying this way, you will sense you are being thrusted. The word may come, so-and-so migrate to Santa Rosa. How about that? That's to be thrusted out. You know, I met a sister today from Tulare. I wonder amongst us, there are saints from Crescent City here. No? Yes? So, from Tulare to Crescent City, from San Francisco to Auburn, actually crossing the state line to Reno. We claim that as Northern California. Until the people in Nevada reclaim it. For the time being, it is part of Northern Cal. This is the field. All the cities, all the towns, all the campuses, all the workplaces. So many cities yet without a lampstand. So many campuses yet without the work. How many workers and reapers do we need? We really need to pray. We do need to pray. So pray for this in the next 100 days. Okay, three, please read. John 15 revealed. So it says what? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. You did not choose me, but I choose you. I chose you, and I set you that you should go forth and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. Those are the two reference verses. Now let's read A. To ask in the Lord's name requires us to abide in the Lord and allow Him and His words to abide in us, that we may actually be one with Him. So the principle is the same. First, we need God speaking. Then we pray as an echo to that speaking. Actually, a kind of re-speaking of His speaking. So here's the same. The Lord's word has to abide in us. If you don't read the Bible, if you don't read his word, and the word of God doesn't dwell in you, I would say your prayer would be probably rather shallow. Those brothers, those sisters who have the word in them, they can pray and pray continuously. There is a kind of a source there, and that is the indwelling word, the abiding word in them. So this means also that we should not pray according to our thoughts, according to our mentality, according to even just the circumstances without, according to our preferences. We should pray according to the word. This is not the Logos word, this is the Rhema word, the living word in us. Be then when we ask, he asks in our asking. Do you see this? See, his word is in us. His desire is put into us. Then we ask according to that desire. And this is as if he is asking, except he is not. He is asking through our asking. He's praying to himself. Was it Andrew Murray who make this famous statement? The real prayer is Christ on earth praying to the Christ in the heavens. The Christ below praying to the Christ above. That is the body of Christ praying to the head of Christ. How does that occur? By this way. By this way. I hope by now you see this relationship. So, this kind of asking is for fruit bearing and will be answered by the Father. It is a promise. It is a bequest even by the Lord. But it must be this kind of asking, not your own kind of asking. I feel all of us in this new revival, this new stage that the Lord is bringing us into, all have to be fruit-bearing branches. All of us. Not just a few. Not just some who are, you know, gospel preachers or whatever. All of us. And I want to infuse faith in you. Just I want to infuse the faith in you to pray. I want to infuse the prayer, the faith in you to bear fruit. You have said too long that I cannot and I will not. Well, do what Hannah prayed. Do what Hannah did. In that kind of bitterness, in that kind of shame, he prayed and spoke to the Lord for a son, an offspring that he would lend to the Lord. Pray that way. Pray Hannah's prayer for fruit, for spiritual descendants. Pray for that. Don't say it's impossible. Don't say it's been 10 years. God can open wombs. Even shut up wombs he can open. But we need to pray. Okay, Romans 4, could you please read? Now we come in this and the next two Roman numerals to a book that really talks about prayer, and that is the Acts of the Apostles. And I want you to all pay attention to this. You should actually study this this book. So, A, in order to be one with the Lord, in his work, we need to pray ourselves into God and pray God into us so that we are mingled with God. So I think we're clear about this. Prayer is not just to say something. Prayer is to pray ourselves into the person of God and pray Him into us. Prayer, therefore, is the top way to be mingled with God. And that's what the early disciples did. They were a people, a very different people. They are just one with God. All right, B. To pray means to stop ourselves from doing anything apart from the Lord so that He can do His work through us. What is this reference? Chapter 14. Is it Matthew 14 here in B? Let's take a look. Okay. Matthew, is it 14:22? Let's find out. Yeah, it is. Praise the Lord. This is about the Lord Himself. So it says, you know, He compelled the disciples, you know, after He fed the 5,000 people, He compelled them to step in the boat, the disciples, and to just go before Him to the other side of the sea. And He sent the crowds away. And verse 23, and after He sent the crowds away, He went up to the mountain privately to pray. And when the night fell, He was there alone. So even the Lord Jesus had to stop Himself from all His work, all His ministry, to go from to a place apart so that He can pray. And it is in this prayer that He gets recharged by God and charged by God to carry out the next phase of His ministry. This is the Lord. And much more we have to do. See, to pray means that we realize that we are nothing and can do nothing. Prayer is the real denial of the self. Really, if you still think you can do something, you don't need to pray. You don't need to pray. Prayer is a condemnation of ourselves. Prayer is an acknowledgement, an admission that we cannot do anything. Only the Lord can do something. D, to pray by calling on the name of the Lord is to deny ourselves and to declare, no longer I, but Christ. Okay, please read 5. The book of Acts. So here is the book of Acts. We actually from A to H are case after case of prayer. Effectual prayer. And the prayer that the disciples needed to have in order to be filled with the Spirit of God. Both essentially within and economically without. So that all their doing, all their preaching, all their traveling, or whatever they were doing, they would be those activities will be the activities of God Himself. They are the acting God, therefore, on this earth. So let's go through this. I will read. The prayer that we need is the prayer of the outpouring of the Spirit. Here we have. These all continue steadfastly with one accord in prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with His brothers. For 10 days, they prayed in one accord, and that brought forth an outpouring of the Spirit on Pentecost. So you have this here. And these verses, of course, in Acts 2, 1 through 4, and also 16 to 17a, all talks about the coming of the Spirit. The rushing, violent wind, the Spirit that filled the house, the tongues of fire sitting on each one of them, and the infilling of the Spirit that caused them to speak in different dialects. And then, finally, that quote from Prophet Joel, "It shall be in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh." See, this was being realized on that day. Well, how did that come about? Prayer. 10 days of prayer. I really look to the Lord that after this 100 days of prayer ahead of us, in principle, something like this will be experienced by you and I. Amen?
Amen.
Have faith, brothers and sisters. Amen. B, the prayer that we need is the prayer that shook the earth and empowered the disciples with the Holy Spirit to speak the word of God with boldness. So here, the disciples were released and they went back to the saints. The disciples report all that has been said by the high priest and the elders. And when they heard this, the people, the church heard this, it says they lifted up their voice with one accord to God and said, "Sovereign Master, you are the one who has made heaven and earth and the sea and all things in them, who through the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, has said, 'Why did the Gentiles rage and the people devise vain things? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city there are many gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the angels and the people of Israel, to do what your hand and your counsel predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon these threatenings and grant your slaves to speak your word with all boldness.'" This is their prayer. "While stretching your hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." The last verse. "And when they had so besought, the place in which they were gathered was shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and begin to speak the word of God with boldness." We do need earth-shaking prayers. We do need the prayer that will allow us to speak the word of God with boldness. Recently, the Supreme Court ruled on a particular legislation that is plainly and clearly against God and the morals of God, the holiness of God. And so, because that was said, it's the law of the land. So we have to go and study that to see how we should respond to that. This is a very serious piece of law. And then after much study by the brothers, among other things that I would not get into, we found out that actually we do have the freedom to speak as we ought to speak, even about this issue.
Amen.
Publicly. The First Amendment affords us the right. So long we're not here to incite any kind of rebellion, civil disobedience against the government, you know what I mean, the law, we can speak. And after we find that out, actually before we find that out, in my own consideration about this, because the Lord covers me to say this, I probably talk about this more than anyone. I speak especially to the young people. At the end of every training, winter and summer, on Saturday morning, I'm there with hundreds of young people who attend these trainings in Anaheim. And every time I speak to them, and almost inevitably, I would touch the subject. And then, in my consideration, and I actually, in the full-time training, I gave 3 solid messages studying this matter from the whole Bible. I trace it. I study it to help these young people who, sorry to say, because of the system we are in, have been brainwashed. Consider normal. So I have to go through the entire Bible to study it. From Genesis, it started in Genesis chapter 6, and go all the way to Revelation, to Jude, to 2 Peter. If you read those epistles, much of this is prophesied and talked about. Well, I already had that feeling that if this is the Bible, I have to speak it. Otherwise, I am not a servant of God. If I am political, then I am not. I don't deserve to minister for the Lord. So when we find this out, I was much relieved. And that really coincide with my inner feeling. With all this is happening, not only will I continue to speak, I have the burden to speak stronger. I will speak more, not less. I will not be gagged. I will not be subdued. I will not be shut up. It's war. It's about this country, the last remaining large Christian country on the earth. Still is. And you don't know how much that means in God's move. That's why I'm burdened for this country. And I will speak. Dear saints, to speak we need boldness. Amen? Amen? Amen. And where does that boldness come from? That boldness comes from the Spirit. Amen. And where does the Spirit come from? The Spirit comes from prayer. Amen. Dear saints, pray until you are bold. Go to Google, those who you work there. Speak there. You know, in a proper way. You know what I mean. And I heard the stories that many Christians on these workplaces and things all are silent. They think everyone is against them. So they dare not say a thing. But you know what they found out? Once they begin to say something, they found out people crawling out of the woodwork, so to speak. He said, I'm also a closet Christian. I'm also another secret Christian. It's so good to know you that there's some who will speak out. I tell you, God's people are everywhere. But they have been subdued. They have lost their boldness. So the gospel is not going out. and the testimony is absent. Brothers, we cannot be that way. We have to speak. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Google and speak. Amen. Go to Oracle and speak.
Amen.
We need to speak, dear saints. If we don't speak, who will? Okay, let's go on. See, the prayer that we need is the prayer of the apostles to match the ministry of the word. But we will continue steadfastly in prayer, Peter said, and in the ministry of the word. Prayer is needed to match the ministry. No prayer, no ministry. D, the prayer that we need is the prayer that brought Peter into a trance and brought a heavenly vision to him. Well, I won't go through the story. You know, the sheet, right? The sheet that comes down from the heavens with all the unclean things he was charged to eat, and so on and so forth. How did Peter get into such a trance to see such a heavenly vision? I tell you, it was the third hour of prayer. Am I right? The third or the sixth, I forgot. Hour of prayer. It was during the day. It was during the day. He was in the rooftop. He was praying. It was during prayer he got into a trance. And we all need some experience to be in a trance, a place we don't know it's heaven or earth, but we would see some heavenly vision. I don't mean to urge you all to practice Pentecostalism and see strange things. But that's not what I'm talking about. All right. E, the prayer that we need is the prayer that opened the prison gate for Peter. So Peter was bound, kept in prison, with two chains, sleeping between two soldiers. Then the angel came and aroused him and say, "Rise up, chains fell off. Put on your sandals, put on your cloak, follow me." He thought he was in a dream, Peter. And passing through one gate after another, he was really, really, the security was tight. And he came to the iron gate that leads to the city. Then the gates opened by itself. And going out, they got into the street, and the angel departed. And Peter woke up. Peter came to himself. He said, "Now I know truly the Lord has sent forth his angel to rescue me from Herod's hand, from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Now, this is the point. When he became aware of this, all his situation and what happened to him, he went to the house of Mary. What's going on? Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where there was a considerable number assembled together and praying. Now you have to put two and two together, that these saints in that small group, in that home meeting, whatever you call it, the church, representing the church, praying that night there, and while that prayer is going on, the angel came. And when after Peter was released, the prayer meeting was still going on because they didn't know what has taken place. You believe me, saints. A lot of things happen as we're praying. Not after, but during the time of prayer, the Lord already works. Okay. F, the prayer is the prayer of that brought the five prophets and teachers into the Lord's commission. Dear brothers and sisters, this is a huge one. This is a turn in the Lord's move from the Jews to the Gentiles, from the Holy Land and to the Asia Minor and thence to Europe. That is a great, great turn. What happened in Acts 13, and it was five brothers of the church in Antioch ministering to the Lord, that means praying with fasting. While they were doing that, the Holy Spirit spoke, "Set apart for me now Barnabas and Saul," two of them, two of the five, "for the work which I have called them." What work that is. What work that is. That work is unfolded in the rest of this book. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So, here we have prayer being the way to receive God's commission. I don't know how many times it was during prayer that there is a clear speaking, a clear charge of what to do. I can think, I can consider, I can even talk to the brothers, not so clear. But when I pray, it became clear. This is not superstition. The Lord would say, go there. Pick up that burden. The Lord will speak to you, speak to that person. Shepherd that saint in a very clear way. I don't care if the commission is large like Paul's or small like ours. It still requires the prayer. You know, a person who prays a lot, you can tell, they're also doing a lot. They're also doing a lot. They are the commissioned ones. All right? G, the prayer that we need is the prayer that brought a great earthquake and shook the foundations of the prison house. You know the story. In Philippi, Silas and Paul were chained, but they prayed and they sang. There was an earthquake, and then the prison house was shaken, and then the jailer came and asked, "What can I do? What must I do to be saved?" You know the story there. H, the prayer that we need is the prayer that brought Paul into a trance, into the Lord speaking to him. Not only Peter got into a trance, Paul got into a trance. You know, he went into Jerusalem and when he was praying in the temple, he got into that trance. And the Lord came and said, "Hurry, get out of Jerusalem, because they will not accept your testimony here." Well, I won't get into too much of this. At the end, the Lord said to him, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." So the Lord's speaking to him, the Lord's direction to Paul came in a trance while he was praying. Well, this is the book of Acts. The book of Acts is a book of prayer. And that should be our book today. This should be our church life today. Now, please read Romans 6. The book of Acts. So I think this is good enough. Tomorrow we will get into the epistles and the book of Revelation concerning prayer and God's move. Now, it's your time to be filled and speak. Amen. I hope more can come up. After three meetings, you must have some burden, some response. So please come up and the brothers here and share something with us. Amen. Amen.